Hello, my name is Michael Rocha. I'm a university graduate with my degree in anthropology and a comic book enthusiast. At the end of 2020, the Walt Disney Company held its annual Disney Investor Day. The higher-ups gathered together to give the public a sneak peek at future projects being produced by Disney. We were given special looks at upcoming movies and series such as Ahsoka, Pinocchio, Raya and the Last Dragon, Tiana, A Real Bug's Life, and Lightyear. What got me most excited, though, were the announcements made by President of Marvel Studios Kevin Feige regarding upcoming projects for the MCU. In today's episode of Comic Topics, I'm going to talk about these movies and series, providing some of my thoughts, hopes, and theories for each, and sitting down with my friend Haley to hear the same from her. So let's get started. The long and short of how I feel about each of these movies and series is overflowing excitement. I cannot wait to watch each new installment to the MCU. The first project I want to talk about is the one premiering the day after I record this episode, WandaVision. The series brings back two Avengers after the events of Avengers Endgame, and I cannot wait for a couple of hours from now when it's ready to watch. Based off of the trailers, we see Wanda and Vision living in peaceful domestic bliss after getting married. We see their lives act out as if they were those of characters from television shows from varying decades of entertainment. They keep moving forward in time, and the world around them keeps glitching. From this, I guess that they are in some kind of distorted reality. Other characters we see in the trailer seem to confirm this, since there are forces that are trying to bring Wanda out of the alternate reality. We see Monica Rambeau from the Captain Marvel movie as an adult in this new reality and being thrown out of it. In this series, she will be an agent of S.W.O.R.D., S.H.I.E.L.D.'s Space Division. We also see Katherine Hahn's character, who is possibly Agatha Harkness from the comics, one of Wanda's mentors. We get a brief glimpse of Darcy from the Thor movies, played by Kat Dennings, who is probably brought in by officials to help them understand alternate realities and pocket dimensions. I predict that for the show, Wanda has created a reality where she and Vision can live out the lives that she had hoped for them in a similar way to how Wanda rewrote reality in the House of M storyline. Whether or not Wanda is doing this all on her own, or there are forces at play that may be manipulating her to create this pocket dimension or alternate reality is still up in the air, but my money is on the former. Now that's not to say that there isn't some evil force that can be gaining something from Wanda rewriting reality. If that happens to be the case, I'd bet that force would be Marvel's devil, Mephisto. I also predict that this isn't going to be a superhero, villain of the week, fight the bad guy, win the day series. It'll be a series that explores a grieving superhero who uses their powers to work through that grief. Much is still unknown about the series, and I am excited to watch and learn more. The next series I want to talk about is The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. This show will focus on the titular characters as they start their new lives in a world without Steve Rogers as Captain America. The banter between them is hilarious and is something I hope is a constant throughout the show. We see Sam Wilson, the Falcon, struggling with the identity of Captain America since Steve gave him the shield at the end of Avengers Endgame. We will see the introduction of two new characters in the show with who I think is Flag Smasher and the US Agent. If the character who I think is Flag Smasher is him, I would imagine that he is the main villain for this series, since the character is someone who believes in doing away with the concepts of countries and nationalism. The US Agent, if that is who we see in the trailer, will act as the US government's newly appointed Captain America, since Sam Wilson is likely still considered a fugitive following the events of Civil War. I predict that since he will likely meet the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the US Agent will team up with them to stop Flag Smasher. We will also see the return of Helmut Zemo, who we last saw in Civil War. While I have no clue about the role he will have in the show, I guess that he'll join either side, but only as a way to meet his own goals. I hope to see either Sam or Bucky take up the new mantle of Captain America by the series conclusion. Whoever becomes the new Cap could be the next new leader for the Avengers. The God of Mischief, Loki, will be getting his own series in May of this year. based off of the trailers, it looks as though Loki is being held prisoner and is forced to fix reality. Since he got the Tesseract in Avengers Endgame, this is not the same Loki from later MCU films that came after the Avengers. We see him in the custody of the TVA, or Time Variance Authority, the people who monitor alternate realities within the multiverse. Since Loki changed history, he created a new reality, so he'll be likely charged with fixing reality by the TVA. I'm unsure if there's going to be a big bad in this series, but we do see a hooded figure kill off some TVA agents. This could be a rogue time traveler, or an even more evil version of Loki. Two scenes from the trailer that I am most excited to see in this series are when, 1, Loki appears to be D.B. Cooper, the infamous hijacker from the early 70s who leapt out of a plane with a bag full of cash, who was never seen again, and 2, when Loki wears the same suit from the Vote Loki series in which he runs for the President of the United States on a pro-lying platform. These scenes and others from the trailer seem to point to Loki hopping between realities. I'll predict, though, that while he is likely forced to be doing these things, he'll be working on something in secret to free himself from the TVA and concoct some plan for becoming the ruler of Asgard. I mean, come on, it's Loki. The What If animated series coming to Disney Plus has me shaking with anticipation. I've talked about this series before in a separate episode of Comic Topics, but to recap, it explores different Marvel timelines where something goes differently than it does in the main timeline. The series is hosted by Uatu, the Watcher, an individual from a race of beings who are charged with watching the universe happen and recording what they witness. In the comics, the questions that follow the words "what if" can be both serious or silly. Examples include, what if Gwen Stacy had lived, what if the bad guys found out Daredevil was blind, what if Wolverine were Lord of the Vampires, and what if Iron Man were trapped in the times of King Arthur. Episodes of the show will follow the same premise and ask the question, what if something went differently in the MCU? From the trailer we got, we can tell at least two of the episodes will ask, what if Peggy Carter were injected with a super soldier serum? And what if T'Challa became Star-Lord instead of Peter Quill? We see flashes of other episodes featuring Thor, Loki, Hawkeye, Doctor Strange fighting what appears to be his evil twin, and a zombified Captain America fighting Bucky. At this time, I'm unsure what these episodes will be about and what questions they will ask. Actors and actresses from the MCU will be reprising their roles in this series, and Jeffrey Wright has been cast perfectly as Uatu. He has that celestial raspy whisper that I always imagined the Watcher would have. This series cannot come soon enough. The next series I want to talk about is Ms. Marvel, which is also set to be released in 2021. The show will follow the adventures of Kamala Khan as she becomes a superhero. Kamala is a Pakistani-American teen from Jersey City who is a big fan of Captain Marvel and an Inhuman with shape-shifting powers. I hope to see a similar Kamala Khan from the comics with her fun personality and love for superheroes when she is portrayed by Iman Vellani. I would be amiss if I didn't address the Fix Ms. Marvel hashtag that has been seen on Instagram and Twitter following the show's announcement. It addresses the issues with the casting choices made for a few of the characters. These include a non-Muslim Indian lady cast as Kamala's Pakistani Muslim mother, a half-white, half-Pakistani cast as Red Dagger, a Pakistani hero, and a Christian half-white, half-Lebanese actress cast as Nakia, a Turkish hijabi and Kamala's best friend. Casting people outside of Pakistanis and hijabis removes the opportunities for people with these cultural backgrounds to see people like them in media in a positive way. It instead adds to the colorism that has been established in Hollywood, where darker-skinned people tend to be the villains. It perpetuates negative stereotypes about people with dark skin. Whether intentional or not, finding a darker-skinned actor for the villain but a lighter-skinned actor for the hero isn't a good thing. The actors aren't bad people for taking the roles, and the creators of the hashtag have made it clear that they have no ill will toward the actors and actresses. Hopefully, the casting directors will put out open calls for similar roles in future projects and offer them to darker-skinned people to play heroes. The first movie coming to the MCU I want to address is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Shang-Chi is a grandmaster of all forms of Chinese martial arts and has been called the Master of Kung Fu in Marvel Comics. The Ten Rings alludes to the terrorist organization led by the Mandarin, the real Mandarin. The organization is given its name since the Mandarin possesses 10 magical rings that grant him incredible powers. We've seen the Ten Rings before, as they were the group that abducted Tony Stark at the beginning of the first Iron Man movie. We have been told that this movie will see Shang-Chi confront his past as he faces the mysterious Ten Rings. In the comics, Shang-Chi's father, Fu Manchu, raised Shang-Chi to be a great fighter and serve by his side. After learning that his father was truly a criminal mastermind, Shang-Chi turned against his father and sets out to do good in the world instead of evil. I've read that the Mandarin will be retconned to be Shang-Chi's father or father figure, and Shang-Chi will have to face him armed with his 10 magical rings in the movie. I also predict that Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings will have a big positive impact on the Marvel fanbase, much like the effect Black Panther had on the Marvel fans when they saw a black superhero on the big screen. Shang-Chi will have a similar effect when fans see a Chinese superhero on the big screen. We will be getting a Captain Marvel sequel in November 2022, directed by Nia DaCosta. The film will feature Captain Marvel, Ms. Marvel, and Monica Rambeau. Not much else is known about Captain Marvel 2, but if I had to guess, we'll see Monica Rambeau get superpowers and become a superhero like she does in the comics if she doesn't already have them during or by the end of WandaVision. The three heroes together will make an amazing team. The Hawkeye series, set to be released at the end of this year, will be an interesting one. We will see Clint Barton train Kate Bishop, played by Hailee Steinfeld, to be the next great archer of the MCU. We're also getting the swordsman who trained Hawkeye in the comics for the show, played by Tony Dalton. Much like Captain Marvel, not a whole lot is known about this series. If I had to guess about the plot though, I'd say we're going to see Hawkeye still coping with the death of Black Widow and using his training of Kate Bishop as sort of a mechanism to get him through the grieving process. The introduction of Kate Bishop as a new young hero could lead to bigger things for the MCU too. With young heroes like Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel already going to be a part of the MCU, it's possible we may get a new team of young Avengers. Of course, that's just a guess. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is going to be a great movie, but quite possibly a little more than a bit confusing. Dr. Stephen Strange, Wong, Christine Palmer, and Mordo will be returning for the sequel. The Scarlet Witch will also be joining them, and I'm sure when she meets Dr. Strange, their combined powers will be a sight to behold. We will also be getting America Chavez, played by Xochitl Gomez. Opening up the multiverse leads to an infinite number of possibilities for the MCU moving forward. I'm not going to try to guess the plot for this movie, since, at least at this point in time, whatever I could come up with would very likely fall incredibly short of the actual plot. When the She-Hulk series was announced, I jumped for joy. Hopefully when this series comes out, people will see that she is way more than just a gender-bent Hulk. The TLDR origin story from her first appearance in the first issue of her first series from 1980 is that the She-Hulk is attorney Jennifer Walter, Bruce Banner's cousin. After being shot and given a blood transfusion from her cousin, Jennifer becomes the She-Hulk when she's enraged. Since then, she has had several series, been on multiple teams, traveled to outer space more than once, broken the fourth wall before Deadpool, and become a fan favorite of comic readers. Unlike her cousin, Jen can control her transformations, maintains her intelligence when she's the She-Hulk, and continues her day job both in and out of Hulk form. Tatiana Maslany has been cast as the Jade Giantess, and I believe she's going to do a great job. Mark Ruffalo and Tim Roth will be reprising their roles as the Incredible Hulk and Abomination, respectively. Having the Hulk in the series makes me think that Jen's origin story will be kept the same as it is in the comics. This series is said to have some courtroom drama elements in it with some humor mixed in. I predict we'll see bits and pieces from the first two She-Hulk series and see Jen both feared and loved by characters in the show. Introducing this character could be a good way to bring in the Marvel superhero Daredevil, who is also a lawyer by day. It's also a good way to one day have an A-Force movie or series. A-Force, the all-women's team of Avengers, has been led by both She-Hulk and Captain Marvel. We got a peek at what that could look like during the final battle in Endgame. With She-Hulk joining the MCU and more young women superheroes showing up, the team could really come together. I'm very excited for the day when the She-Hulk series finally premieres on Disney+. The Moon Knight series piqued my interest when I first heard we were getting one. Mark Spector, aka Moon Knight, is a mercenary who was left for dead in Egypt. It was there that the moon god Khonshu gave Spectre moon-based powers. Moon Knight then returned to the US and created multiple identities to fight crime. As a result, because comics, Moon Knight lives with dissociative identity disorder and acts as an anti-hero in the Marvel Universe. Kevin Feige has said that this series will explore Egyptology, Moon Knight's dissociative identity disorder, and be an Indiana Jones type story. With Oscar Isaac playing Moon Knight, the series and its titular character are going to be a wild card for sure. Secret Invasion, coming to Disney Plus, is based off of the comic series with the same name. The show will follow Nick Fury and the Skrull Talos as they investigate Skrulls infiltrating life on Earth. I am most excited to see Nick Fury and Talos working together. I would imagine the banter between them to be like that of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Plus, they would definitely have differing opinions on Skrulls coming to Earth. The series Armor Wars will be based off of the classic Iron Man story. In the comics, when bad guys get their hands on Stark tech, Tony goes pretty far in the opposite direction to make sure his tech isn't used for evil. This time around, we'll see James Rhodes, aka War Machine, deal with the stolen tech. We'll also possibly see Rhodey have to cope in a world that doesn't have Iron Man in it and try to live up to that legacy. Ironheart will be a series that centers on Riri Williams. Riri is a genius inventor who creates her own iron suit and will be played by Dominique Thorne. Much like War Machine, Ironheart will probably see a hole in the superhero world left by Iron Man. She could see this as a chance to make a name for herself and do good as the heroic Ironheart. If all goes well, we could see another member for a team of young Avengers. We'll have to wait and see. On the Guardians of the Galaxy front, we're getting several new projects. In a few years, we'll see a live-action holiday special. I predict this is going to be heartfelt and have a lot of laughs in it, especially with James Gunn returning as the director and writer. I Am Groot is a series of shorts coming to Disney+. I can't think of anyone who doesn't have a soft spot for Baby Groot. This series is going to have some cute elements in it, with some fun new characters. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 will be coming to us in at least 2 years, and I anticipate a fun movie. No major plot points have been made public yet, but I'm almost 100% certain one of them is going to be the Guardian searching for Gamora, with Thor along for the ride. After all, this is a Gamora from an altered timeline where she hasn't joined the Guardians yet. Will she be willing to join again? Additionally, the banter between Thor and Star-Lord is going to be hilarious. Speaking of the God of Thunder, Thor: Love and Thunder will start filming this January. Thor, Jane Foster, and Valkyrie are all coming back, and it's expected that Jane will finally pick up the hammer and become her version of Thor from the comics. We're also getting Christian Bale as the movie's villain Gore the God Butcherer. With two people now wielding the power of a god, Gore has his work cut out for him, and I cannot wait for the fight scenes. I don't have many predictions regarding the movie's plot, but I can guess that it will revolve around Thor trying to find a new path for himself. Since Valkyrie has become the new ruler for the Asgardians, and Jane will become Thor, Thor Odinson will have to find a new role to play in the MCU. I'm unsure how Jane will end up with Mjolnir in the movie, though. Captain America took Mjolnir with him to return the Infinity Stones at the end of Avengers Endgame, so maybe he returned the hammer to the timeline as well. In the comics, Mjolnir sought out Jane, so perhaps the same will happen in the film. Only time will tell. A Blade movie is in the works with Mahershala Ali playing the vampire hunter. I've seen the previous Blade movies starring Wesley Snipes, so I'm very enthusiastic to see this new one. Not much is known about the movie, so I can't make predictions about the plot. If I have any hopes for the Blade movie, they'll be that we'll see more of the character's backstory, see his mom, and get visually stunning fight sequences between Blade and the other vampires he'll face. Bringing Blade into the MCU could also be a way to introduce other monsters or supernatural characters from Marvel, like Werewolf by Night and the Man-Thing. The third installment of the Ant-Man franchise will be quite the spectacle. With a title like Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, I can only imagine what will happen in the film. We will see the return of Scott, Hope, Hank, Janet, and Cassie, with Jonathan Majors joining the film as its villain, Kang the Conqueror. From what I've been able to gather about Kang, it has become clear to me that this villain has the potential to be the next major big bad for the MCU since Thanos bit the dust. Kang is a time-traveling supervillain from the future and has proved to be an Avengers-level threat more than once. With access to the quantum realm and time travel being a thing, Kang is going to make for a great villain for Ant-Man and the Wasp to fight against. Since Cassie Lang will also be an important part of this movie, we could see her take on her superhero identity stature. If this is the direction the film will take, it just adds another member to the Young Avengers team we could see in the MCU. Kang has also been a major villain for the Young Avengers in the comics, so his arrival could be another hint at the formation of a team of younger heroes. Black Panther 2 will be an emotional experience for MCU fans. Since the passing of Chadwick Boseman in 2020, people have wondered what will become of the Black Panther in the MCU. Many have speculated that Shuri, the younger sister of T'Challa, will take up the mantle, and I would agree with them. I have no idea how the mantle of Black Panther will pass to Shuri, but I'm sure the character will do an amazing job as the protector of Wakanda. Speaking of, I'm sure Shuri will also do well as Wakanda's new ruler. I do wonder, however, what obstacles the character will have to face in her new role. Both Shuri and T'Challa were taken out by Thanos' first snap, so Wakanda was left without a proper ruler for years. The people of Wakanda might have some doubts and question whether or not Shuri is fit to rule. I have no doubt that she'll make an excellent queen, though. I know the second Black Panther movie and Letitia Wright's performance as Shuri will be a great way to honor both the Black Panther and Chadwick Boseman. When I heard Marvel's first family, the Fantastic Four, would be getting the MCU treatment, I was over the moon. It's about time they did too, since being introduced into the MCU is exactly what they need. I've seen every Fantastic Four movie to date. The one from 1994 was meh. The Fantastic Four from 2005 was a good movie. Its sequel had its issues and isn't as good, and the 2015 Fantastic Four reboot, which people like to call Fant4stick, was just awful, with the exception of Michael B. Jordan's performance. The Fantastic Four movie should be a good one, since the members can now be in the same universe as other heroes from the MCU. With John Watts directing, I have a few hopes and thoughts for this film. First, hire the right actors for each role. From what I've seen online, many people want the same thing but in different ways. In one way, they want John Krasinski and Emily Blunt as Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman. Another group of people have called for Marvel casting directors to cast people of color to be the Fantastic Four. I am very interested in seeing how casting directors will approach this subject. Second, I think it would be interesting to see the Fantastic Four take place in a different time period than modern day. With the first Captain America movie taking place in the 40s, Captain Marvel taking place in the 90s, and if Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne can do their superhero work in the 70s and no one know about it, then maybe the Fantastic Four can do the same in the 60s. With time travel being a possibility, they could end the movie by being flung into the future. Lastly, I would like for Dr. Doom to not be the villain for the movie. While I recognize Dr. Doom to be the Four's greatest adversary, I have reasons for not wanting him to be the big bad in their movie. First, it allows for another Fantastic Four villain or villains to make an appearance. Mole Man, Molecule Man, The Wizard, the list goes on. Doom could also be a good villain for a sequel or a bigger movie, since he could make for another larger threat to the MCU if it isn't going to be Kang the Conqueror. And if we get Doom, let's have the Doom we deserve. Make him the ruler of Latveria, a man of science and a sorcerer with powers on par with Doctor Strange. A Fantastic Four movie could also reintroduce people to the Silver Surfer and Galactus. We could finally see Galactus on the big screen as he was meant to be seen, and not as a space cloud. He could be yet another contender for the MCU's biggest threat. Needless to say, I am itching with anticipation. The third Spider-Man movie, featuring Tom Holland as the Wallcrawler, is set to come out this year, and I can't wait to see my favorite superhero on the big screen again. I won't get into every single rumored and confirmed character for this movie, since that's a long list, but I hope that many of them are going to be in the movie. Bringing the multiverse into play certainly opens up many opportunities for characters from previous movies to make an appearance. Of all the characters, though, I hope to see previous Spider-Man actors Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in the movie, and see the introduction of Daredevil to the MCU. Please bring Charlie Cox back as the Man Without Fear. With the villains we've previously seen in Spider-Man movies, and the ones rumored to arrive, it's my hope that we'll soon see the formation of the Sinister Six. I'm sure Peter Parker has a lot to juggle with his secret identity being made public by Mysterio, and now he'll have even more on his plate. Hopefully interacting with other Spider-Men and other characters will help him get his life back on track. The Black Widow movie has been teased and pushed back for what feels like an eternity. It should be coming out this year, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's not delayed again. The movie will take place before the events of Infinity War and explore Natasha's past as she returns to her roots when she was a spy before she was a SHIELD agent. From what I can gather, it looks like Natasha is called into action after the movie's villain Taskmaster has taken over the Red Room, which is where Natasha was trained along with other young women to be Soviet spies. Taskmaster is an excellent choice for this movie's villain. Here is a character who can perfectly mimic any fighting style or skill after only seeing it performed once. As such, he can predict his opponent's next move before they make it. Other notable characters from this movie will be Yelena Belova, who trained with Natasha, and Red Guardian, the USSR's version of Captain America. Regarding the characters outside of Black Widow, I predict that following Taskmaster's defeat, he will somehow escape and will be heard from later. Since we know what happens to Natasha in Avengers Endgame, I would guess that Yelena will take up the Black Widow title as she did in the comics. I don't know what will happen for the Red Guardian, but I hope for a happy ending. But how often does that really happen in the MCU? What I can say is that this movie is going to have some amazing fight sequences, and I look forward to learning more about Natasha's past, considering that it has been shrouded in so much mystery for so long. Lastly, I want to talk about the Eternals movie. Set to be released near the end of this year, this movie will bring us some interesting new heroes and villains. The Eternals themselves are a highly evolved group of individuals from Earth who live alongside humans and can live forever. In the comics, they were created by Jack the King Kirby, who wrote and drew the characters, starting with their first appearance in 1976. The Eternals came about when a race of otherworldly gods called the Celestials performed experiments on the ancient ancestors of the human race. As such, the Celestials created the potential for humans to gain superpowers and created a creature that was the start of the human race in the Marvel Universe. Eventually, the Eternals split off from humans and developed superpowers from their homes in the high mountains. The experiments done by the Celestials also created the evil race known as the Deviants, who act as a threat to humanity. But enough about the comics, back to the movie. From my research, I can guess that the plot of the movie will involve the Eternals going up against the Deviants in some way to protect mankind from them. Side note, Thanos is a descendant of the Deviants, so it's possible he'll be at least referenced in the movie in some way. The movie is set to take place after the events of Endgame, so it looks like Earth will be getting some more new heroes in addition to the ones I've previously mentioned. Of all the shows and movies come to the MCU, this one features a team with a rich history, yet many people don't seem to know much about them. Similar to the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, in which we were given a film about B-list heroes that did very well, I think the Eternals movie will do well also, even though it focuses on heroes and villains we're not familiar with compared to other characters from Marvel. Now we'll hear from my friend Haley as she shares her thoughts. Hello, Haley.
Hello.
Hi, so go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
My name is Haley Fisk. I met you in our Anthropology of Superhero course.
Both of us have a very good understanding of Marvel and comic books, and we love comic books and superheroes.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so we're here to talk today about future MCU projects, just sort of get some additional thoughts and theories and hopes for future projects coming to the MCU. Okay, so the first one I want to hear from you about is WandaVision coming out the day after tomorrow, so the 15th of January.
Yes, I'm really excited about that one. I saw the preview, the teaser trailer, and then the regular trailer, and it looks so crazy, but so good, you know? And I don't know, it just, to see Wanda and Vision throughout the different years and decades, and how they're making it to seem like a actual TV show during those times, which I think is going to be very interesting. Something else that I find interesting is that they are having Kat Dennings reprise her role from Thor, and I wonder how they're going to be able to incorporate her into the show. That's one thing that I'm very interested in about. What I think, because I read that Elizabeth Olsen is saying that the WandaVision is going to be like a perfect segue into Doctor Strange 2, that this might be another multiverse that she might have accidentally opened somehow, and she transferred into it. That's going to be interesting to see.
All right, so next up, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
This one I am so excited for. I love Bucky, for one thing. And then the banter that Bucky and Falcon have is amazing. But I think what makes those two characters so good together is that Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie, they're like the same thing on screen as they are off screen. I've seen so many interviews with them. And just the banter between those two, it's comedic gold, honestly. So I'm excited to see what happens with those two after Endgame. Because they are both, they both miss like, what, 5 years? Yeah. And then Captain America is no longer Captain America, Steve Rogers. And the question is who is actually going to be Captain America? Because some parts of the preview show that it's going to be one of, Baron, I think?
Yeah.
But there's some kind of other Captain America that's going to be in the TV series. So I can't wait to see how Sam Wilson takes on the role as being, you know, the Avengers Captain America, who the Avengers see as the real Captain America, and how the fans see how he deals with the pressure of all that, too.
So, next up, Loki.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love Loki. He is just, I love Tom Hiddleston, and I think he does an amazing job as Loki. And it's going to be interesting to see, because we're not getting the Loki that was at the end of Infinity War. That was in Infinity War. We are seeing the one from the Avengers 2012 and him going back in time, him going and messing up history for everybody. Yeah, the only difference is that he's not worried about Thanos. And apparently the Loki series is going to be 2 seasons at least. So I'm kind of excited to see if the first season is going to connect into Doctor Strange 2 and Wanda and Vision with the whole different universes, or how that's going to work.
So the next show is the What If animated series coming to Disney Plus.
Yes. That sounds exciting. Getting to see like all these different what ifs from the comic books, and then it being brought in as a cartoon in a way. And what I think is really cool is that they're not replacing any of the actors or actresses from the movies. They're actually using them for the series.
So moving into some of the movies now, or at least the first of the movies, we have Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Yes. I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about that, but I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to bring in a new, I think like a new group of people and a new group of fans, because it's not just the whole, okay, we're going to do stereotypical, the white men, white women. It's going to be a different ethnicity, and I think that's going to be interesting. I think it could be very similar to how Black Panther was for the Asian community.
So jumping back real quick to Disney Plus series, we have Ms. Marvel.
I think that's going to be similar to like what I said with the Shang-Chi and the and Black Panther. You know, we're going to see, yeah. So I think that's going to open up so many more doors and show people that it's just going to bring more diversity that we need to Marvel, and that we need just in general.
And do you have any thoughts about what the series might include or what we might see?
I'm hoping, because I've read the first comic book of Ms. Marvel, so I'm hoping it follows along that line and gives a backstory. And I feel like Ms. Marvel might be one of the segues to the new Avengers. Because I know I just read recently that Kevin Feige said that they will be bringing back Avengers movies. So I'm excited to see who's going to be a part of those. And I think Ms. Marvel could be.
Speaking of, we're also getting a Captain Marvel 2 movie.
Yes. I'm excited to see what happens with that. I watched the first one and it was really good. I think that's going to be cool. Because Ms. Marvel's idol is Captain Marvel, so that's going to be interesting to see how that series and Captain Marvel 2 movie are going to connect, and if Captain Marvel is going to make an appearance in the TV show.
Next on the list is Hawkeye.
Hawkeye is my absolute favorite Avenger and probably character for... It's in one of the top for my favorite Marvel character. He's the one that I first fell in love with in the Avengers, because I watched the Marvel series or the Avengers series on Disney, and I just loved his sarcasm and all of him, you know. So I'm really excited to see him passing the baton to Kate Bishop, and I feel like Hayley Steinfeld is going to be an amazing person to play the role of Kate Bishop. And from the interviews and stuff that I've seen of her, is that she honestly feels so passionate about this role and about the series. So, and Jeremy Renner coming back as Hawkeye, I loved him as Hawkeye. So it's going to be cool to see those two in that series. And Lucky, there's rumors that Lucky the dog is going to be a part of that series, so that's going to be cool. But I think it's going to be interesting seeing what happens with Hawkeye and his family, because there have been pictures shown of him saying goodbye or hugging his kids and them going in their car. So the question is did him and Laura get divorced? Is he just staying in the city to protect them? And then what's cool is that, I forgot her name, but the Florence Pugh's character from Black Widow is supposed to be making an appearance in the Hawkeye film or the TV show. So I'm interested to see how Yelena Belova is who she plays. So I wonder how she is going to connect with Kate Bishop and Hawkeye, Clint Barton, in the TV series. And are we going to see more of her now? Is she going to take on the role of Black Widow, kind of like how Kate Bishop is going to take on the role of Hawkeye?
Next on the list, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, coming March of next year.
That one, I feel like, is just going to, instead of answering more questions, I think it's going to cause a lot more questions for the MCU. I feel like that is going to be the movie that opens it up for the new Avengers series. I'm looking forward to it. Because I want to know how Wanda and Vision, this series, connects to Doctor Strange 2. And then how Wanda is going to be. And are we going to see any surprising characters that nobody expects? Are we going to get characters who've passed away back in there? You know, there's rumors going around that Chris Evans is going to come back as Captain America. He's in the talks for that. Are we going to see different timelines from all this? Are we going to have the different multiverses and different characters from there? Is this where we will see the different Spider-Mans, you know? Because that's been a theory that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are going to make appearances in the future MCU films. So, I'm excited about that one.
Next on the list, She-Hulk.
Ooh, I'm happy about that one. I used to watch, I watched a lot of the cartoons on Disney XD for a bunch of the Avengers and that kind of stuff, and one of them was Hulk Agent Smash, something along those lines. And She-Hulk was part of it, and she's just an amazing character. And I can't wait to see more about Bruce Banner and Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner, because Mark Ruffalo didn't get to do his own Bruce Incredible Hulk movie. He came in the Avengers and took over for the role of the Hulk. So I hope we get some kind of backstory with Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner in She-Hulk, because he is confirmed to be in it. And one of the villains from The Incredible Hulk is also going to be reprising his role in She-Hulk. So that's going to be exciting. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. I think just overall the fourth phase seems to be a lot of the original Avengers passing the baton to the younger generation. And I think we're going to see like Kate Bishop and Yelena and She-Hulk as the new Black Widow, new Hawkeye, the new Hulk. And I think that's going to be interesting.
Next, Moon Knight.
Moon Knight. I know very little about Moon Knight. Moon Knight. Let me see. I think that's cool that they are showing someone who has mental illness as a superhero. That's going to be cool.
Next, the Secret Invasion series that's coming later on.
Secret Invasion series. Oh, that's going to be interesting, I feel like. And I think, apparently, the series is going to be centered on Nick Fury. So that Samuel L. Jackson is like definitely Nick Fury, and that's going to be interesting to watch and see how what they do with that with the Skrulls and everything, and see the Skrulls were first appeared in Fantastic Four, and they are wanting to they will be making a Fantastic Four movie sometime in the future, so we might see the introduction of the new Fantastic Four in the MCU and that series.
Next, Ironheart.
I actually, because I was looking at the different MCU, and I saw Ironheart, and I'm like, oh, is it going to be another Iron Man? Like, what is this going to be? So I think it's going to be interesting. I'm kind of thinking how the MCU is doing everything in a way of honoring, I guess, the original Avengers in a way, if that makes sense. So I think it's going to be cool. I wonder if we're going to see any Iron Man, like any appearances of Iron Man, or how that's going to work with it. And if he actually ties in, if we're going to see Robert Downey Jr. back in MCU, even if he says that he's done. Because I remember Chris Hemsworth says that he's done after Thor 3 or something like that, and he's on to Thor 4 and Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So, you never know with these actors.
Speaking of Iron Man, or at least Iron Man storylines, we are also getting Armor Wars down the line.
That's going to be exciting.
Any thoughts on that?
I think it's going to be interesting to see how James Rhodey is going, after losing his best friend, how is he going to deal with the loss of Tony and see how he kind of protects Tony's legacy with the Stark tech and that kind of stuff. And we kind of get to see the after effects of Tony's death and someone who's close to him, you know? So I think it's going to be interesting to see.
Next, we have the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special that'll be coming sometime in December.
Anything with Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, it's going to be hysterical. It's going to be fun to watch. And I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be something that, with all of the sadness that Endgame and Infinity War brought, and having to see Black Widow again and knowing that she dies, I think it's going to bring some lightheartedness that the MCU needs. And with all the TV series focusing on the after effects and the aftermath of Endgame and Infinity War, I think it's going to be something that everybody's going to need. And I can't wait for December.
While we're on the subject of Guardians of the Galaxy, and you talked about it a little before, but we're also getting a third Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Do you have any hopes for that movie, or
excited about that, because Thor is supposed to be in there, and James Gunn is back to writing and directing. I think it's going to be interesting to see I kind of want to know what the original plan for the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was, because a lot of it has had to change because of when it's coming out and how it has to go in order with the other movies. And now with Thor 4 being released before Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And what happens to them after Gamora dies, but now her old self before she met the Guardians, how that's going to play out. And are we going to get her to join the Guardians again? Or is she going to be a villain of sorts? You know?
We're also getting a series of shorts to Disney Plus with the smallest member of the Guardians in the series called I Am Groot.
Baby Groot is my absolute favorite. I am excited to see him as Disney in the Disney shorts. He deserves his own show. He deserves his own movie. He just deserves the world or the galaxy. I feel like that's going to be something along the lines of Guardians of the Galaxy. The holiday special is going to be the kind of happiness, the funniness that everybody needs with all of the films and TV series that are dealing with the aftermath of all the deaths and everything. So I think it's going to bring a lot of smiles and a lot of laughter to a lot of people.
Next, the Thor Love and Thunder movie that's coming May
of next
year.
I'm excited about that. Taka, I'm probably botching his name, is coming back as writer and director. So it's exciting to see when they have the same writer and director for multiple films. So we don't lose the characters and we don't lose who they are. And we get a similar story and we get that storyline. So I think that's going to be interesting. And Natalie Portman is back, and she's going to be the female Thor. So, I'm excited to see how Jane and female Thor play, how she's going to transition into her, and how Valkyrie is going to be a part of this. So, and are we going to see Loki in Thor 4? And is his TV series going to play into the movie?
The next movie I would like to ask you about is the Blade movie that we're getting.
I haven't seen the original. I've heard about it. I've seen bits and pieces. So I think that's... I can't wait to see how he fits in and that series fits into the MCU and what they're going to do with that.
The next movie is the Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumania movie that we're getting.
I think it's going to be exciting to see Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly back as Scott Lang and Hope Van Dyne. So I feel like that's going to be one that connects to Doctor Strange also. With the time travel and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be exciting to see how the multiverses and all of this is going to connect and what is in this time in this universe compared to other universes. And I feel like Doctor Strange and then I'm hoping Ant-Man we're going to explore that more.
Next movie I would like to talk with you about is Black Panther 2, which should be coming out July.
That is going to be, I think it's going to be tough to watch for the fans, and I think it's going to be tough for the actors and actresses to film. Because Chadwick Boseman was Black Panther, was T'Challa, you know, and I think that by not recasting his role, I think that was the best decision the MCU made. So I'm excited to see a lot of theories is that Shuri will be taking over the Black Panther role. And I think we do need some more female leads. And I love how the MCU is making that happen with Ms. Marvel, Jane becoming Thor, Kate Bishop, Captain Marvel. So it's going to be exciting to see. And I feel like Black Panther 2 is going to honor Chadwick and honor T'Challa. Because I can't see, with how big of an impact Chadwick had on the MCU, I can't see them not doing something along those lines.
You talked about this one a little bit earlier, but we're also getting a Fantastic Four movie years from now too. Any thoughts?
I kind of want to see Chris Evans make an appearance in that for obvious reasons. I think that'd be hysterical. And I don't know. haven't watched the Fantastic Four. I know very little about them. So I think it's going to be exciting. I hope most MCU movies have done justice to all the characters, so I'm hoping that this one does well. I think it's kind of cool that you have Michael B. Jordan, who was in Fantastic Four, was also in Black Panther, and then of course Chris Evans was in Fantastic Four and was Captain America. So I hope they kind of poke fun a little bit with those two. So I'm excited about that.
You've also mentioned the third Spider-Man movie a few times throughout our talk. Do you have any thoughts on what that movie should bring? Or do you have any hopes for the upcoming Spider-Man film?
I hope Deadpool is in it. It's only hope. No. I'm excited. Tom Holland, in my opinion, which may be controversial, is my favorite Peter Parker Spider-Man. I've seen the original with Tobey Maguire. I just feel like Tom Holland is Spider-Man. And it's going to be interesting to see, because we're also going to have Doctor Strange in this movie. And Jamie Foxx will be reprising his role as Electro. So I'm excited. We're also having Dr. Octopus back. Or not back, but the original from the Spider-Man 2 movie, Alfred is going to reprise his role as Doc Ock. So that's going to be exciting. I don't know. I'm excited to see how this goes into Doctor Strange too. Like, is Doctor Strange going to not take over, but in a way where Tony Stark left off in being that mentor towards Spider-Man? And I'm excited to see that dynamic between Spider-Man and Doctor Strange.
Second from the last here is Black Widow.
This movie I have been dying to see since it was announced. I begged my Anthropology of Superhero teacher to play the trailer of Black Widow. I'm excited to see it. We get to explore who Natasha was and see her backstory, which I think Black Widow has deserved her own movie for the longest time. I feel like she should have had been the first female lead in the MCU because of the role that she has played in numerous movies throughout the series. So I feel like Scarlett Johansson and Black Widow deserve this movie. And I don't know, I'm just excited to see the fighting, and it's going to be sad to watch because we know that this is going to be supposedly the last film that she's going to be in because she does pass away. And so I'm excited and sad. I just hope that it does come out in May, one way or another.
Last on our list here is the Eternals movie, slated to come out November of this year. Any thoughts on that one?
I think the cast is top notch. You have a wide variety of actors and actresses, so that's going to be interesting. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't know very much about the Eternals, so I'm wondering how it's going to connect to the Avengers and how it's going to connect to the other MCU movies. So I think that's going to be exciting to see. I think Phase 4 and all of these new characters and these new movies coming out, it's going to be very exciting to see how they intertwine with not only the new movies that are coming out, but with previous movies.
Thank you very much, Haley, for being a part of Comic Topics episode.
Thank you for having me. I had fun.
So those are our thoughts on what's to come to the MCU. Special thanks to Haley for being my guest on this episode of Comic Topics. Now I'd like to hear from some of you. What projects are you most looking forward to that are coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe? What hopes and theories do you have regarding the movies and shows we talked about today? Let me know by reaching out to me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and here on the Anchor app where I record my podcasts. My name is Michael Rocha. This has been Comic Topics. Thank you for listening.